are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
People my age and their parents, I think it's really important to remember it's very different to when they were at school. And I think the seriousness of A-levels and GCSEs and the magnitude of them being cancelled to me was just, I still can't believe, quite believe that they have been cancelled. And I think people forget just how important they are.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources, and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance, and research-based publications.
This week, listen to Ross McGill, founder of Teacher Toolkit, interview Lucia and Will, students at Wolgarston High School in South Staffordshire. Lucia and Will are head girl and head boy studying their A-levels. In today's podcast, some of the things we'll be discussing are how Lucia and Will adapted to lockdown, America and the world's reaction to George Floyd's murder, and social media as a credible news source, and managing the expectations of social media as a young person.
Hello everyone, you are listening to Teacher Toolkit. This is Ross, the most influential blog on education in the UK. Today I'm joined by two sixth form students. I'm very excited to introduce everyone to Lucia and Will, both from Wolgarston School in, is it in the Midlands specifically?
Yeah, in West Midlands.
Okay, so Lucia, can you just introduce yourself to listeners and tell everyone what you're studying at school?
Yeah, so I'm a head girl at Wolgarston and I'm studying English Literature, Geography and History A-level, and I also did an EPQ on do parents really know the best for their children in the terms of medical care.
Okay, fantastic. And Will, could you introduce yourself to listeners, please, and tell everyone what you're studying?
I'm head boy at Wolgarston High School. I'm studying English Literature, History, Sociology, and like Lucia, I did an EPQ, and mine was on a legal defence called the Defence of Necessity, questioning why it's there and if it works.
Right, fantastic. So we'll come back to kind of some of your studies in a moment. Firstly, I just want to say I'm really excited because you're the first students to feature on my podcast ever. Wow. It's a real privilege and honour to have student voices on the podcast and shared with people around the world. So we've come together specifically to talk about lockdown and those types of issues. So we're talking on kind of the early weeks of June. Can I cast both your minds back to when lockdown was starting to be speculated at school? So, roughly 13th, 20th of March, that type of period. What were your immediate reactions? So if I can pose that first to Lucia, how did you feel when you started to hear? Was it initial excitement or fear or exams or what did you think?
It was definitely fear for me. I remember probably the week that lockdown, it was the Wednesday, wasn't it? They were saying that they would close the schools on Friday. I remember the week before and that Monday and Tuesday, mm-hmm. I was really worrying because I thought they'd close schools, but we'd still have to do exams.
Right.
And that was, I spoke to my teachers about it actually, because it was just the uncertainty and the unknown that really panicked me. And that in geography, I had a little bit left. It was a tiny amount really, but still I thought I've got to teach that myself at school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the year 12s now, I would not like to be in their positions at all, or the year 10s as well. So I really...
You're in year 12, aren't you?
I'm year 13.
You're 13 now. And Will, how about you? How did you initially feel when you started to hear the news?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of anxiety. Teachers and students alike didn't really know what was going to happen. So it was kind of, everyone was sort of aimless. No one really knew what was going on. And like Lucia, I thought we'd still have to take exams, so I was still kind of working. It's like the pressure increased tenfold. Were we going to do the exams in May? Were we going to do them later on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how was it going to work? So yeah, it was very weird. It was very strange.
But so my next question for you then, let's think about the first couple of weeks of lockdown. How did you get into a routine, essentially knowing that you had to stay at home with your family, and I guess at that stage, carry on with your studies to some degree? How did you adapt, Will?
I I've made cue cards throughout the year, so I kept going over them, like, in the first week, just in case. Mm. And then as news started to come out that exams wouldn't go ahead, I kind of had to develop a new routine. I kind of had to not focus on schoolwork and focus more so on myself and how I'm going to adapt. I started doing things to do with law instead.
Okay, so I'll come to your thoughts on exams in a moment. How about you, Lucia? How did you feel in the first couple of weeks and how did you adapt?
It definitely wasn't relief knowing that the exams were cancelled. It's definitely more like, so they're going to grade us on like absolute, like not knowing us at all. Like, it was definitely fear. I had all my revision. I hadn't thrown any of that away, obviously, because I was so worried that all of a sudden they'd change their mind as well. So I organised all my revision again. So I feel like after a bit it gets and sort of out of hand, and I sorted out my room and everything just to feel a bit more organised, even because it was one thing that I could do that I didn't not know about, and it wasn't uncertain. At least I could have some like normality back. And then as well, getting into a new routine as well. It definitely, I think it demotivated me a lot. Like just knowing that the exams in May wasn't going to happen, and like the next thing was university, which is so far away in September. Mm. And actually then a few weeks later, I thought, am I actually going to be able to even go to university?
So describe to me how, you know, when you heard the exams announcement, you know, postponed, and then teachers using their assessment grades, how did that impact on your thoughts or communications got from your university office, for example?
The universities, I think, were really good in supporting us in UCAS as well. They sent out quite a few emails to us, like, not to panic, but at that point they didn't know either really how that we were going to be graded. And a lot of the media as well, they'd put out things, but it was all speculation. And I think that weight of, like, from Ofqual and UCAS, mm-hmm. of what was going to happen was definitely the hardest.
And how about you, Will, once you heard that exams announcement? I know you said you've adapted to your law studies, but initially, your emotions, reactions to that news?
At first, I was quite surprised. I thought they would go ahead, but I thought they'd go ahead later. So for me, it was one of kind of confusion. Mm-hmm. But I think as we've kind of gone on now, it's definitely gotten much better. It's gotten much easier. It does feel like a weight's been lifted.
So how are you both, if I start with you, Will, how are you getting into a routine, making sure that, one, you're trying to relax, switch off, have a routine, study, you know, I'm sure like me, you have lots of arguments with your family, you're all seeing each other too much, we have an argument every day in our house, we're trying to be nice to each other today. How has it been for you adjusting?
So I wanted to make sure that it was kind of life was as normal as possible. So I wanted to wake up at a very similar time. I didn't want to lie in. I wanted to make sure that I still had goals to strive for and achieve. So I kind of started doing MOOCs and online learning myself.
Okay. Right.
I did one on English common law. So I've tried to kind of keep up like academia, but then I've also focused on exercise as well.
Okay, so could you tell listeners approximately what your routine is Monday to Friday?
It's really so like from the start of the day to the end of the day.
Yeah, like, I mean, not specifics, but, you know, I find myself getting up a little bit later than normal. You know, 25 years I got up at 6 a.m, now I'm getting up at about 8. and then I'm fine and going to bed later, but we all work and live differently. How is your routine shaped out?
Yeah, it's actually quite similar. I do wake up later and go to bed later. Mm-hmm. But I've been able to kind of have, I've been able to spend more time with my family now. Monday to Friday,
how many hours, you know, in terms of your studies or your reading, approximately how many hours are you doing, I say the word homework loosely, per day?
I'm probably doing about 3 hours of, actually, 4 hours of kind of like reading. Okay. And
a good number. How about you, Lucia? You know, what's your routine like during the day?
So I think it varies. to be honest, on the weather, I think when it's sunnier, my mood just lifts, definitely. And I think with the when it's sunnier weather, I read a lot more as well. Just fiction books, not not anything really heavy. But yeah, definitely reading's probably the main like part that takes up my day in terms of like academia, I suppose. And I've done that. We had an Eton course as well, supplied by the school that they, it was a research skills one. It was quite interesting, but I think that was, I would have found it more useful if I'd done that before I'd done an EPQ. So I really recommend those if people are like looking to do an EPQ. They explain about referencing and like just general research skills and reading journal articles. And that's also helpful for university as well, because they're sort of, so the EPQ and university like work is so different to A-level and GCSE work.
I'm going to start to ask, you know, how are you connecting with your friends? Obviously through social media, suspect, and maybe the odd video call, but without getting into too much detail, just give me some highs and lows, Lucia, of what your friends have been up to and how they are adapting, the great things they've been doing, if possible, or the not so, how hard they found it equally.
So obviously I've spoke to all of them. We have a group chat and we speak to each other like almost every day. And two of my friends are actually mobile care assistants. Okay. So I'm very proud to have them as my friends. And they've been working so hard as well. And obviously giving a bit of insight to like how the elderly are coping as well. I've got another friend, she works at the co-op as well. So she's also exposed. I work at WH Smith's as well, only one day a week. But it's actually, it was really, at the start of lockdown, I was working a bit more. They've cut my hours now. And it was actually, I really looked forward to going to work. And I think they did as well to begin with, because it was something to focus on. That wasn't like either school and
you felt you were contributing, and how about you, Will? What have been the highs and lows from your friendship circles?
So some of my friends got furloughed at the very beginning of lockdown, so for them they've kind of struggled to adapt. Others have carried on working at places like Lucia mentioned. They've been working at the co-op, they've been working at some supermarkets. One thing that we try and do to make sure we stay together and stay connected is we'll set up a FaceTime or a group call. We'll turn on Netflix and we'll watch a film together.
All right.
That's one of the hobbies of lockdown for all of us. You know, we'll kind of start watching a film and then we'll talk about it at the end.
But so you got through some film. Have you got through some box sets you've always wanted to get through?
I've been watching a lot of films recently.
Right. Good.
Quentin Tarantino, I've tried watching all of his films again. My parents have introduced me to some new films as well.
Right, I want to talk about a couple of more serious topics. For me, my doctoral research is looking at not necessarily fake news specifically, but you know, social media use, screen time, trolling, those types of things. So that topic, plus maybe mental health, looking after your well-being, and obviously we're talking at a time where we've seen all the events, the racist events taking place, the marches, the death, George Floyd over in America. Let's talk about that specifically because it's the most recent. What are both of your immediate thoughts on that particular issue, if you're comfortable talking about that?
Yeah, I'll go first. I think it's hard to put in words, to be honest. I think to say stop silent is probably the worst thing. And I think you've just got to carry on and like speaking up about it, whether that's on your social media, going to protest, which is difficult obviously at the moment. Definitely speaking up and watching and reading things as well. Even on Netflix, I watch When They See Us, which is about the Central Park Five, who were wrongly accused of like rioting, rape, just because the police officers discriminated them because of the colour of their skin, and it was only because somebody else confessed that actually they were released from prison. And it also showed how they how coming out of prison as well that they had that sex offender tag, like hanging over their head for the rest of their lives for a crime they didn't even commit. Mm-hmm. And I think it's heartbreaking to know that that was just because of the colour of their skin. I've also ordered a book called Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race.
I would say that's probably the best book I've read in my life.
Yeah, I ordered that.
It's a fantastic read. Will, what about you? You know, well-being, mental health, fake news. You know, yeah. I'll come back to those specifically. Let's talk about George Floyd first of all. What's your immediate thoughts?
Like Lucia, it's kind of hard to put into words. My immediate thoughts are ones of kind of like shock, even like disappointment, I think, was one for me, because you do see it happen a lot in the USA, but nothing has had kind of, I think it's all kind of erupted now, it's all come out now. And in some ways, you know, it's not nice that it has to happen in that way, but I do appreciate the massive show of faith and hope that a lot of people have. And there's been, you know, great communities that have risen out of this. Petitions with 7 million signatures are being signed. Things are actually being done. It's being illuminated and there's a light on it. And to me, that's really important.
So, kind of, you know, I'm sure we've all seen the news and looking at social media, and I'm sure you've got one or two social media accounts. Now, for me, like many of our teachers, we were alive for 20, 30 years and then social media was created, whereas you guys, I guess, were born into it. So, how do you use social media? And I guess it's always on your fingertips now during lockdown rather than you're in lessons and things. How are you? How do you generally use social media, Lucia?
Actually, about the fake news thing, I have Twitter, and the Twitter videos, especially of like the Black Lives Matter protests in America, they're like miles apart, the ones that are being shown on the news channels. Like they either do the same video that's been cut in half to censor the police brutality. So I think that part of social media is really eye-opening, and I think it keeps you grounded as well to what is actually happening. And these are people that have been to the protests, and they're using Twitter to share their voice and hearing about it as well compared to the news is really...
What strategy do you use, if you've got one, in terms of when you look at something on Twitter, is it a reliable source? Do you think it's fake news? How are you developing some kind of method for ciphering out the truth, I suppose?
I try and look at... there'll often be a thread of like other replies and tweets. I look at those to see, like, is this the truth? I know I saw one, I think this was even on TikTok, which is a new sort of social media platform, that was saying that the UK have stopped selling and sending weapons and tear gas to the US to protect the protesters. But actually, there's only petitions so far. So you definitely have to realise that not that the news, even on Twitter and social media, can be distorted, and I don't think that's actually happened just yet, but it just showed that how, like, even we can be miles apart geographically, and you get to see all of the videos and photos at your fingertips.
Yeah. What about you, Will, in terms of your social media use and how you navigate fake news?
I think for me, if there's something that I'm not happy with that I see in say, an Instagram post, because that's the most used platform that I go on, just looking in comments and then looking in at like what the most liked comments have to say, people will often kind of correct someone, or they'll add to the conversation. They'll make sure that the truth can actually be heard in the comments, and then people can like that comment so that more people can see it when they actually go and look in there. I haven't encountered that much fake news myself because I don't really follow that much.
How do you both deal with, you know, that mental health issue? You know, social media often paints an illusion of perfection, and retweet me, like me, follow me, subscribe, look at me, I'm beautiful. How are you? But what are your both thoughts, and how do you navigate that part? And then we'll move on to a couple of other issues in a moment. Will?
So, like, how do I get around people asking for likes, comments?
Like the pressure on young people to develop friendships, and with social media, it's, you know, like me, subscribe, follow me on YouTube, or you see someone over there with the thousands, you know, 100,000 subscribers. How have you developed? I guess what I want to know is how have your family, your school supported you in your ability to manage your mental health and deal with social media?
Oh, there's lots of assemblies that are done, and there's a lot of safeguarding. There's social media awareness assemblies where the teachers will make you aware of certain threats, fake accounts, people posing as other people. Mm-hmm. You are made aware of that, and it's not too hard to spot. It's quite blatantly obvious if someone is posing as, say, Kim Kardashian with only like 10 followers and a really granulated picture is their profile picture, so it's not too difficult to miss.
Lucia, as a how do you you know, how's your family, your school supported you, you know, in terms of you know, the likes of beautiful, being a young person, being successful, having lots of followers, those types of things?
I think when you're on social media, it's definitely to like easy to fall in a hole that you think, oh, why does everyone else look like this? Yeah, definitely about appearance and looks. I think that's something that a lot of people can struggle with and relate to. But I think you have to remember that they're posting, like, they have the control of what they're posting. They're not going to post an unflattering photo of themselves. They're not going to post their failures. They're only going to post their successful moments and their achievements. And I think you have to really remind yourself that that's not real life a lot of the time. That's social media, and the two are actually very different things. Even just like a photo of a sunny day, editing is like so
common now, isn't it?
Yeah, that they can take like a miserable day into a really sunny one. They can change the body, the faces, and I think you have to remind yourself that it's not that, maybe that isn't, that's, you know, they are beautiful, but that's not the way that they look in real life.
A tough world today with the manipulation available online, I suppose. Couple last questions then. One in terms of how's your school in terms of regular contact getting you through lockdown? You know, although Lucia, for example, you're going off into university, you know, you're kind of missing out on your exams, your graduation, you know, seeing your friends, moving on to new horizons. How is your school keeping you in the loop as to what things are happening week to week, and potentially what might happen in September, you know, getting you back together for a graduation, for example?
We'll Garston send out a lot of newsletters, and I think they're really important. They keep up the parents up to date as well as students, and they're given up to date like reference to what each year group's doing, and like obviously the different lessons for like year 9, 10 and 12. But also we did a virtual celebration day, not last Thursday, the Thursday before, I think. And that was great. We got to the teachers like did this sort of thing. We did it on like Moodle, which is their virtual classroom. And they gave out awards as well, and there was the video at the end that I put together with where all people from our year are going to university and what they're studying. And then the teachers also gave a video that's on YouTube now, which I think is really nice, because we're not going to have those photos from celebration day we would have had. And our prom's also been moved as well to sometime September, which hopefully that's not cancelled again, but something to look forward to at least.
Okay, how about you, Will? You know, school communications, your teachers, for example, in specific subjects, how's that going?
So we've had quite a few phone calls from our head teacher asking if we're okay, our tutors asking how we're coping, if there's any help we need with anything. I've had quite a few phone calls from my tutor.
I guess threading everything back into fake news and what you hear in the media, you know, there've been politicians and the journalists talking about schools or teachers not doing anything and maybe being a bit lazy, not supporting their students. What are your perceptions or impressions of how your school supported you versus what the media have reported?
For me, I think it's totally opposite. Like Will said, we've had phone calls and emails from our tutors, from head teachers. And I know for a fact that I could email my English teacher, and if I had a query about anything to do with the exams or just school in general, I know that they'd reply and they'd be really helpful. Obviously, we've actually, our head like girl and head boy role would have ended now. I'm actually quite enjoying that extension. We're able to keep in contact with the teachers for various things. Next week on Thursday, we've got a Q&A session with the Year 11s on like their bridge into sixth form. There's also going to be an EPQ one on why that they should choose the EPQ. And yeah, so I definitely think there's a lot of communication, not just for sixth form, for the lower school as well.
So teachers have very much been at work throughout.
Yeah, definitely.
They're very pragmatic, yeah.
Can you give me an example, Will, of how you've been supported throughout, you know, we're slowly coming out of lockdown, so, you know, the kind of deep end of week 8, week 10, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
How was the school still supporting you at that stage?
One kind of quaint thing that's been carried on, and I'm quite grateful for his book club. So that's kind of, we had it earlier today. So just discussing books like we would do normally in a classroom. So we've been doing that more frequently now, as lockdown's beginning to end, just to try and keep it going on Moodle, just try and keep everyone together.
I've got one last question because we're hitting our 20-minute barrier where I'm going to throw loads of quick fire questions at you. I guess, you know, in terms of hopes and fears, and being a young person in Britain today, with lockdown, you know, the post-virus, mental health, the racism stuff that we see, if you could give kind of one message to everyone listening in terms of what you would want, and you're talking here to parents and teachers out there, you know, what would you kind of dream or want people that are responsible for politics, journalism, those types, for the future of, you know, people like yourself and your age group, for Britain in the future? What would you say, Will? What message would you give to adults listening in terms of one thing that they could do to make the world a better place for people of your age? Put you on the spot.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's lots of things.
Choose one.
The most important one.
Well, you're interested in law, so have you got a particular thing you'd like to see reformed to help everybody, not just young people, perhaps?
I mean, at the moment, it would probably be focusing on, it's quite topical, but focusing on racism and issues of race and issues of injustice. I think parents can do a lot to educate their children about these topics and about history. That they wouldn't otherwise get in school. I think that's a really important message, for now at least, to try and get parents and teachers and anyone else to focus on change. And
okay, great. And how about you, Lucia? What would be your
I think kind of similar, to be honest. I think if there's one thing that the school curriculum could change, I know there's a petition on it as well, to get racism in the UK being taught in schools, and maybe some of those books like Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race, as part of a set reading list maybe, or similar books to that. I think it'd be really beneficial for people to understand and make sure minorities are all included. And I think also for like people my age and their parents, I think it's really important to remember it's very different to when they were at school, and I think the like seriousness of A levels and GCSEs and like the magnitude of them being cancelled to me was just, I still can't believe quite believe that they have been cancelled, and I think people forget just how important they are.
And I guess longer term is, you know, I guess when your grades are attributed and given to you, you know, it's living with that notion in the future. You know, 5-10 years when you get your job, that you were the class of the 2020 where you didn't actually sit a formal exam.
Yeah.
What people's perceptions will be of you for not sitting down at that desk, I suppose. So there's all those types of things that we need to consider about future bias and stereotype as well. I'm going to chuck loads of quick fire questions at you. So I'm going to bounce them to each other and I'm going to see if I can catch one of you out with a hesitation. Okay. So lots of random questions. I'll start with this first one. If Miss Fairclough, your head teacher, had all the money in the world, what's the one thing you'd like to see her do to improve your school, William?
More books.
War books?
More books, yeah. War books.
Okay, Lucia?
Fictional books.
Yeah. Nice toilets.
Nice toilets, okay. What's your favourite day of the week, Lucia?
Friday.
And why, sorry, and why?
Probably closest to the weekend, I can't
remember. Will, how about you?
The opposite, Monday, start of the week, getting ready, getting energised.
Okay, texting or talking, Will?
Talking, definitely.
Okay,
keeping in contact.
Talking, yeah.
Okay, and do you think you, in fact, it's not really a question I was going to ask, could you both live without your mobile phone? Okay, we'll skip that one. what's the movie that you recommend all your kind of parents, mums and dads and teachers must watch, Lucia?
The 13th.
Okay, Will, how about you?
12 Years a Slave.
Okay, if you had a superpower, what would it be and why, Will?
Super strength.
Okay. Okay. So strength and Lucia, yourself.
Photographic memory.
Okay, photographic memory. Okay. where's the once lockdown ends? Where would you? What's the first thing you're gonna do, Lucia?
Hug all my friends. I think my nan and.
Okay, and Will?
Yeah, see my grandparents, hug them, have roast dinner with them on a Sunday.
Okay, favourite junk food, Will?
Chocolate, Oreo, candy bar.
Okay, these are too easy, aren't they? Lucia, how about you? And then I'll get a bit harder.
McDonald's.
Sorry?
McDonald's.
Okay, could you give me one word in Spanish, Lucia? That's your Spanish skills.
Hola, hola, hola.
Okay, Will, how about you?
Patatas fritas.
Okay, good. Will, do you believe in fate? And if so, why?
Or
if
no, because I believe we make our own destiny through our own actions and choices.
Okay, Lucia, how about you?
No, I believe in like manifestation and the law of attraction though.
Okay, Lucia, have you ever worn socks with sandals?
No.
Okay, Will, how about you?
Yes, at every airport I've ever been into.
Okay. Right, so you did very well there. If I guess, you know, to wrap it all up, thanks for your time. It's been really, it's the first, but it's been great to talk to you both. And I hope it's been a good discussion for you both. And to people listening out there, I've been chatting with Lucia and Will from, I'll get this right, Wolgaston?
Yeah.
school. And give us the exact, is it the West Midlands?
Yes.
It was South Staffordshire, is it?
Yeah. And, a little village called Pentridge.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll get to come and visit because I haven't seen your head teacher in her new school. But thanks for your time. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's been great.
I've supported your mental health during lockdown. And yeah, look after yourselves. And you are our future. So I wish you all the best.
You
and,
too.
Thanks for taking part.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.